What is up, my friends? Welcome to another episode of Born to Thrive. I'll be your host, Alex, or the Alex Allen on Instagram and TikTok. And this is my podcast where I help you embrace your power and live the life you're meant to live. All right, let's get to it. So today we have an episode that I feel like I probably should have made a very long time ago because this is something that is so misunderstood, which is what the heck is a calorie deficit? And this was honestly inspired by, first of all, obviously seeing a lot of the misinformation online, but then also whenever I say, oh, you have to be in a calorie deficit to lose weight, I feel like it just leaves people questioning so much and still so confused. And I don't want that for people because I remember where I started. I remember how frustrating it was when people would just be like, just eat in a calorie deficit. And I'm like, I think I am, but I don't know what that actually means. And then you hear eat less than your body burns. And then that's also confusing. So my goal with this is to be able to answer pretty much any question you would probably have about what a calorie deficit is, considerations for it, reasons why people believe that even if you're in a calorie deficit, you can't lose weight. So I want to address all of that. And I also say that because for so long, I didn't truly understand why I would do everything right and still wouldn't lose weight, which is super frustrating. And I want to debunk the myth that you can't lose weight despite being in a calorie deficit, because we're going to make this really clear. And I promise, like, we're going to address all of this. So you're going to have to keep listening. The short answer to, can you not lose weight while being in a calorie deficit? The short answer is no, you can. You will always lose weight if you are truly in a calorie deficit. There is a lot of considerations for that though. And that's exactly why we're doing this. And like, we're going over this. So a calorie deficit, I know I kind of already explained, is basically when you consume fewer calories than your body expends on a day-to-day basis. So one of the ways I like to explain this is basically like, imagine like your body is like a car and the calories are the fuel that it needs to run. So let's say you give your car more fuel than it needs to go where it's supposed to. What happens? I mean, it technically kind of like, this could be wrong in a sense, but it stores that extra fuel for later. So that's kind of what happens with your body and calories. So a calorie deficit is when you're giving your body less fuel or calories than it needs to do all the things it has to do, like running around, playing, even just breathing. When this happens, your body doesn't have enough stored fuel to use. So it starts to use the extra fuel it stored before. That extra stored fuel is fat. So when your body starts using up that stored fat, you then lose weight. Now, no matter how you try to lose weight, whether it's eating different foods, exercising more, it all comes down to one thing, which is your body using more fuel than it gets on a day-to-day basis. That's what creates a calorie deficit. And that's like ultimately the key to doing like losing weight. And I want to make it clear too, that there's multiple ways you can do this. Like I just said, you can do it through your food. You can do this through exercise. There's a lot of different ways that you can be in a deficit, but it doesn't ever change the rule that if you are consuming less than your body burns on a day-to-day basis, you will lose weight. Now, I always give this caveat that we have to consider the fact that our body, this is your BMR, your basal metabolic rate, your body naturally has an amount that it burns on a day-to-day basis from doing absolutely nothing. Like quite literally, you could do nothing all day and your body would need, and this is a very wide average, it really depends on the person, anywhere from like 1200 to like 1800 calories just from doing nothing. And I've explained this before where you could do absolutely nothing and eat that amount and then just maintain. But we don't do nothing. Most of us don't do absolutely nothing. Like you literally get up at least to go to the kitchen and maybe go to your desk. And maybe your activity level is a little bit lower, which would mean that you need less fuel. But a lot of us who are listening go to the gym, we walk, we're pretty active. If you have kids, you're running around with them, you do the dishes, you get your mail, you breathe, you digest food. Like all of those things play a huge role in your total daily energy expenditure. And so that's where the kind of widely assumed number of like 1200 calories gets kind of a lot of hate, because most people would not need that amount of calories to lose weight. It's actually very under eating for a lot of people, and there's a lot of considerations for that. But so I wanted to address that fact that this is, and we are going to talk about crash dieting, but I wanted to like understand energy balance. So that's where I like to say it's energy balance versus just like a calorie deficit, because sometimes it's easier to understand. And sometimes people are like, oh, that makes more sense than just calling it calories. It's like, oh, it's energy. Like that is purely what food and calories and all those things are. It is energy for you to use on a day-to-day basis. And so one of the things I like to visualize is like a seesaw. So there's two sides. On one side, you have the calories you eat, which are like snacks, meals, anything you consume, drinks, anything you consume that has calories on a day-to-day basis. On the other side, you have the calories that you burn, which is energy you use up when you run, you play, you breathe, you eat food, you digest the food, just existing. So when that seesaw is balanced, that means that you're eating about the same amount of calories as your body is burning. But then when one side of the seesaw is heavier than the other, the seesaw will tip. And that's basically what happens with your body weight. Again, this is a good example of the fact that you can have it kind of teeter on a day-to-day basis. And if on average, it's teetering up one way and teetering up the other way, you can ultimately maintain your weight. So if you are consistently eating more calories than your body needs, it's going to favor in the eating side, which leads to then weight gain and storing those extra calories as fat. But when you eat fewer in favor of like the burning side, that's when weight loss happens. And so that's where you kind of need to ultimately favor one side. But this is again where like you can kind of have things be an average, and that can be super helpful. So this is where it's so important, because so many people get really frustrated because they feel like they're not losing weight even though they're eating less. And it feels like you're doing everything right, but the scale isn't budging. Our bodies are tricky. Because even if you're eating fewer snacks and smaller meals, your body might adjust to this change. And it's kind of like when you're doing something new and then it's really exciting at first, but then you get really used to it. It's a similar concept. And this is where like tracking macros or keeping a food log or having some idea of what you're consuming on a day-to-day basis and understanding what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, like roughly your NEAT, which is your non-exercise activity. Basically, like think walking. That's one way that us coaches tend to like manipulate your NEAT or have a better idea of like what you're doing on a day-to-day basis is by tracking your steps. And so like being aware of your steps, being aware of your activity levels from strength training. And then also it's important to just very briefly note that your NEAT does play a larger role than your exercise activities. So like intentional exercise. So I want to make it clear that even with the stuff that I'm saying, do not worry about how many calories you burn during your exercise. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. Those things are inaccurate. Even if they are somewhat accurate, it doesn't matter. I don't like using that as a tool to try to be like, well, I can then eat those calories back, or then I can consume this much more. It is inaccurate. It is not helpful. Looking at everything holistically is going to be way more conducive to your long-term success, instead of worrying about, I need to burn X amount of calories every single time I work out to then continue to be in a deficit. That's very simplistic, and it's not actually helpful in the long term. So some of the things that happens is when you start eating less and less and you start losing weight, you are then ultimately carrying around less weight on a day-to-day basis. Because say you start, I'm going to give very arbitrary numbers here. Say you start at 150 pounds and then you lose weight and you're now 140 pounds. And say you were eating 2000 calories to start, you were eating 1600 calories to be in a deficit, and you are now again 10 pounds lighter. These are very arbitrary numbers that are not just perfect for anyone. So just make that clear. You're eating 2000 calories and you're 150 pounds. You then start eating 1600 calories and you lose 10 pounds. So along the way, you just keep losing weight and you're doing other things on a day-to-day basis too. And now you are in a plateau. So like you're not losing weight, but you're still moving the same amount. You're still working out the same amount. Everything else is the same, but you've hit a plateau. Part of this comes from the fact that your metabolism starts to slightly downregulate as you consume less food, because it is now not needing to burn as many calories on a day-to-day basis. One, you're consuming less food. There is a thermic effect of food, meaning your body does, like, again, digest the food. It burns calories through consuming food. So you're eating less, so it's no longer doing as much to do that. And then also you weigh less on a day-to-day basis. So you walking around, like a good example is, say you put, you lost 10 pounds and you put a 10-pound dumbbell on your shoulder and you walk around all day like that. You're basically like, this is an example of what you would have weighed previously. You don't need to do that, by the way. I want to make that super clear. Like that's not going to be super conducive to like, okay, I'm going to go back to weighing what I weighed before. Like you don't have to do that, but it is a good example of the difference. Like you see, I actually did this as an example before where I had lost 60 pounds. So I wore a 50-pound weighted vest with like, I had like a 10-pound ankle weight because that was just what I needed to add it up. And that was as much as the vest weighed. And so I like walked around like that. And it's wild to feel the difference of how it feels on your legs. Because again, it's been a slow adaptation to this new weight. And so when you just put all that weight back on you, you're like, wow, like that's what I used to weigh and walk around at, which is a wild concept. But so you're using less energy on a day-to-day basis because you're carrying around less weight. So this is some of the examples of things that happen when you start to lose weight. Again, metabolism downregulates. You're carrying around less weight, meaning you're burning less weight on a day-to-day basis. You're consuming less food. So there's all these things. And that's where keeping track of what you're eating can be very helpful, because sometimes maybe people don't realize that they are consuming more. So like that's the other thing too is, if you are truly in a deficit or you've been in a deficit, maybe it has now turned into a new maintenance for you, which is fine. It's not a bad thing. It's a metabolic adaptation. Basically, like this is your body's way of surviving. But then also, if you aren't keeping track of things and you're like, I feel like I'm doing everything right, but you don't know how much you're consuming on a day-to-day basis. You don't actually know how much you're moving on a day-to-day basis. Like you have no idea about any of these things. Because again, I like to use this example because sometimes I thought I was eating, quote, clean, and I was actually very much over consuming calories, because that's the kicker. When people say like, just eat clean, it's like, it does make it easier to be in a deficit if we are eating adequate amounts of protein, because it's very satiating, it's very filling. And also if we're eating minimally processed foods, because they are just more voluminous. And so it's like for more food, you have fewer calories. Whereas if I was going to eat like a cookie or something, which I'm not demonizing those, I want to make that clear. But if I'm eating a cookie or something, it's very calorically dense for very little amounts of food. So very little volume, which is what makes you then feel hungry sooner and can then lead to feeling like you don't eat that much on a day-to-day basis, but you're actually consuming a lot of calories because food volume wise, which I'm not suggesting you always have to like volume eat or anything. Again, always it's about balance, but that's just important considerations. And even though like doing the, like keeping track of like the energy we use and being like, okay, maybe I don't know how much I'm consuming on a day-to-day basis or how much I'm expending on a day-to-day basis, the basic idea still works. It does. Because like ultimately, it's a matter of physics. You are consuming less energy than you burn on a day-to-day basis. So if you're feeling frustrated because the scale isn't moving, maybe it will just take time where like that's where you see kind of like body recomposition, because you will be building muscle. You can be losing fat to be at like a maintenance calories, but it may just be slower than you expected. And so we kind of addressed some of the major ones. I will address hormones in a second, or in a little bit, just because I think that it was important to address the fact that there are certain things that you can do to be aware of your calorie deficit and understand kind of where you are. But then also understand the frustrations, because that's where, like, again, the metabolic adaptation or inaccurate tracking can influence weight loss progress. We do have to talk about sustainable deficits before I get into like hormones and stuff, because a lot of people want to jump into the biggest deficit possible. And it's not even necessarily their fault, because we see it all the time with like MyFitnessPal when they get like their estimated calorie intake, or even in a lot of these like fad diets. Again, like actually this, to be totally honest, this podcast was actually inspired by someone I spoke to yesterday who she had worked with a gym to do this like weight loss challenge. They told her, don't eat sugar. The only fruit you're allowed to have is like berries. And then we're going to give you these workout routines to do. And there was like and then make sure you eat enough protein. And I told her flat out, I know why this worked for you. And I know why it's not working now. Because they didn't educate her at all in understanding why this worked. And so she didn't understand that the moment that this ended and she would go back to her usual like eating sugar and eating carbs and having these other foods, then suddenly she's going to either gain the weight back or just maintain. Like it's just a natural tendency. And I told her that they basically cut out entire food group, which is going to put you in a deficit because you are now not eating these things. And they're having you eat the lowest calorie food options for things like, because they told her she wasn't allowed to have bananas. She wasn't allowed to have, like anything sugary. And so you're taking away calorie dense options and you're taking away potentially slightly higher calorie options like a banana versus like blueberries. It's just more calories for a little bit more food or like the same amount of food. And also eating more protein helped keep her satiated. So it helped keeping her feeling full longer, which meant that it was easier for her to eat less as well. And then they obviously gave her a workout program. So now she's exercising more on a day-to-day basis, which means she's expending more energy. The thing with that, and the thing with any low-calorie crash dieting, is there's a lot of problems with it. One being the sense that it's probably not sustainable. And again, we always have to consider the fact that when you're in a dieting phase or you're in a deficit, you're probably going to be doing some things that you wouldn't do on a day-to-day basis. Like you wouldn't just be intentionally like a little bit hungry on a day-to-day basis. That's understandable. But when we're eating, like say we go back to that initial example, you're 150 pounds, you're eating 2000 calories a day, and then you're suddenly told to eat 1200 calories a day. An 800 calorie deficit is a lot. It is a lot. That's like where a moderate one would be considered roughly 500 calories. And then again, these are arbitrary numbers because we're not perfect. We burn different amounts on a day-to-day basis and there's a lot of considerations for it. But so say, assuming everything's fine, you're doing the 1200 calories. Odds are, and this is a really tough conversation to have with people and they don't like to hear it. And then also it makes you seem like less of a magician when you suddenly have them eating more. Because what happens is a lot of coaches really emphasize, oh, we started having her eat more and suddenly she was losing weight. A lot of times what happens is if you are doing a heavily restrictive diet, not always, I want to make this clear, I'm not judging you, I'm not criticizing you, but it's something a lot of people need to hear. A lot of times when we think we're eating 1200 calories a day, if we truly are, we're not doing that all the time. Because what happens is the weekend rolls around and you might be so hungry. I've given this example before of one of my clients. I'm not going to use her name. One of my clients came to me and she was eating 1200 calories a day because she had been so berated by doctors and her coaches before that she felt so misunderstood that she was like, I don't understand what I'm doing wrong. And she was like, I'm eating 1200 calories Monday through Friday. And I was like, okay. And then she would eat an entire pizza Friday night. And then she would go out with her friends Saturday and Sunday. And she would be eating back all of the calories she was not eating, mostly because she was so hungry. Of course she had to eat a lot of food. She was hungry. She was technically at a point close to starving because she was eating so few calories on a day-to-day basis and burning so much energy. So once we even just increased her calories to like 1500, we did a very moderate increase just to give her, like there's psychological benefits, which I'm going to do a whole episode on reverse dieting. That's going to be the next one. But there are so many psychological benefits to just taking things a little bit slower, especially for so long you've been eating so much less. And so we bumped her calories up. When the weekends rolled around, she would now be able to eat one or two slices of pizza and feel satisfied and like have one or two more throughout the weekend and like not feel like she was wasting food. But then also her hunger just regulated so much more. And that's one of the major things that people don't realize that happens is if we think we're really consuming 1200 calories a day, but then the weekend comes or like once a week or something, we feel so hungry, we then eat like 10,000 calories, which I've seen that happen. Like I've seen it in YouTubers and stuff who are like, I've seen it with bodybuilders. Like they're in such a long deficit for so long, they then consume 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 10,000 calories in one sitting because they're so hungry. And then they go on this like binge spree because they've been dieting and in a deficit for so long, but they haven't done the work to understand how to maintain that deficit and like actually slowly bring it back up. And so it's this whole thing, but there's the aspect of like, we could be wrong. Like we could be thinking we're eating 1200 calories a day, but then ignoring those times where we are over consuming. I'm not saying that's what you're doing. Again, I'm just saying that is something very, very common that we see because we don't want to address or take, in a sense, accountability for the role that we are playing in taking ourselves out of a deficit. So this is where a sustainable approach is much more helpful because you're not going to have a lot of those adverse effects from feeling so hungry that it's really hard to maintain it. And so that's where like a moderate deficit is very, very helpful. And so if you can give it, your body, enough energy to stay healthy and strong, but you're still also helping it use some of the extra stored energy like fat, then you can lose weight gradually over time. Like that's the key to being in a moderate, manageable deficit. And some of the things that I've kind of talked about already to help do that, to make things easier for you, is focus on foods that give you lots of energy and make you feel good, like fruits, vegetables, lean proteins, like whole nutrient-dense foods. This just gives you a lot of energy and a lot of the macronutrients that you need and a lot of the micronutrients that you need without too many extra calories. This is also where like practicing mindful eating can be very helpful because I've also seen people who like they sit in front of the TV and they just down an entire bag of chips without even realizing it, or even like quote healthy food. And it's because we're like mindlessly eating and we're not even aware of what we're doing. So practicing that both of those things can be extremely helpful. And so this is where like, instead of trying to lose weight as fast as possible, or instead of crash dieting, focus on creating a sustainable calorie deficit. And we've done like tons of episodes about that. And before I get into hormones, because I know, again, a lot of people probably want to hear that because there's the argument there, which I'm someone who had PCOS. Like I have a lot of clients who are going through menopause. Like I understand the frustration of hearing this. And this is something that a lot of people do need to hear, which I think is really important. And again, I always say this coming from a place of wanting to educate so you can better understand. This final thing that I'll say before the hormones is, imagine you are playing a game where you have to either win all of the points or none at all. That is what we love to call an all or nothing mindset. It's like saying, if I can't do it perfectly, then I won't do it all. But guess what? Life isn't a game where you have to be perfect all the time. In fact, trying to be perfect can make things really, really hard and not much fun. And that's where the idea of balance comes in. So instead of thinking you have to do everything perfectly or not at all, why not try and find balance? Meaning do your best, even if it's not perfect, and being okay with that. It's like saying I'll do what I can and that's more than enough. It is not about being perfect. I've said it already multiple times in this episode because I want it to be clear that even if you thought I'm eating 1500 calories a day perfectly, I'm walking exactly 60 minutes a day, and I'm exercising exactly 90 minutes a day and burning 500 calories according to my Apple Watch, we are not machines. There is so much, we are more complex than that. And thinking you have to be perfect to be able to reach your goals is going to leave you feeling disheartened, frustrated, and honestly unhappy. This is where we try and find balance. And balance is going to look different to every single person. It is. So I just want to make that clear. So I'll talk about ways to get into a calorie deficit in a second, which I know I kind of already addressed a little bit, but I did want to address some of the things that people say, because a lot of people come in being like, what about my hormones? Which we obviously do, like we work with people's practitioners a lot and try to encourage them to better understand any hormone dysregulation going on or anything like that. But it's so important to recognize that so many people were hyper fixate on the hormone aspect of things, but not even be mastering the basics. And it's very underrated to understand that if you can master the basics, that alone can help your hormone health so much. Most people aren't sleeping enough. They're stressed out of their minds. They're eating a lot of like calorie dense foods, which could be just like making them feel crappy on a day-to-day basis. They're not moving their bodies. They're not eating enough. And so there's a lot of things to consider. So before I even talk about it, I really want to make it clear that if you're not mastering the basics, I'm not saying like ignore your hormones, especially if you do have something going on, but understand that mastering those basics will help you so much, so much. So is it true that different hormonal imbalances can impact weight loss in various ways? Yes. Will it ultimately make the energy balance argument invalid? No. Because what happens is when we have things like PCOS, which can lead to insulin resistance, where there is your body has difficulty using insulin effectively, which can result in higher blood sugar levels and increased fat storage, making weight loss more challenging. Again, it's more challenging. Same thing with thyroid. It's like an underactive thyroid. So if you have hypothyroidism, can slow down your metabolism, leading to weight gain or difficulty losing weight, especially if you're consuming the same amount of calories, but then that's happening, or even cortisol levels, because like high cortisol can increase your appetite. It can promote fat storage and make it harder to lose weight, especially around the abdominal area. So like there are real considerations. Same things with like menopause is a lot of times the hormonal fluctuations are just making it more difficult to be in a deficit, because it can skew your hunger hormones, basically making you feel more hungry than you are on a day-to-day basis, making it harder for you to say no to things. Also, again, like a downregulated thyroid or an underactive thyroid, your metabolism slows, which means you now need to consume less and less to be able to be in a deficit, which again, can be very hard on a day-to-day basis when we have social activities or we just enjoy food. Like there's so many considerations for it. It will never change the truth behind the energy balance. It makes it significantly harder, which sucks. It does. I'm not ignoring that fact. Again, as somebody who went through this, I had not changed anything about my day-to-day activity levels, about my training, anything like that. When I came off of hormonal birth control, and no, I'm not hating on it, I'm just sharing my story. Then I went hyperthyroid, where I changed nothing, but I would do like, I would have hot sweats in the middle of the night. I lost like 15 pounds out of nowhere. And I looked so skinny and unhealthy. And I felt like I was eating everything. And then a couple months later, I went hypothyroid. And so I was eating the same amounts of food. And then suddenly it felt like my face was like a balloon. And I felt like so crappy all the time. My mind was super foggy. My hunger was still really, really high, even though I felt like I was like struggling to like lose weight. And I honestly didn't feel like I was eating that much. Like there were so many things going on. And it's so important to recognize that like that's a very real thing. It doesn't change the energy balance, which is actually a very empowering thing to understand, because it means you're not helpless. It means that you can do these things. It's just going to be harder, which sucks. Like it does, but it doesn't mean that you can't do anything. And so all of these things, they just make it more difficult. And that's not being ignorant to the fact that that's annoying or that's frustrating or that's disheartening, but it's empowering to be like, okay, cool. That means I just have to change the way that I'm doing things. Like seriously, like that's what it comes down to. We have to do things in a different way. We have to be more conscious about things. And so like you can do it. So I know this was very comprehensive in the realm of like, what is a calorie deficit, but it needed to be because I really wanted to make it clear that you have more control than you realize. And there's a lot of other factors that go into whether or not you're in a calorie deficit. But I want this episode to hopefully empower you to understand that, like, you ultimately do have the power to lose weight, do these things. And also to, like, when people just say, just eat less than you burn on a day-to-day basis, you can now have a more educated conversation about what that means and be able to advocate for yourself in other realms. So I hope this was helpful. If you did find it helpful, please share this with, like, a friend or somebody else who you feel like can benefit from it. And then also, obviously, don't forget to, like, leave us a 5-star rating and review. I know I'm kind of getting into, like, the podcast stuff now, but it's like, my goal is to educate everybody in a way that's actually understandable and, like, never feel like you're being talked down to, because that was how I felt on my journey for so long. And people would just say, like, eat less than you burn. And I'm like, what does that mean? So I hope this was able to be helpful. And as always, like, don't be a dick, especially to yourself, because this journey is hard enough as it is. You don't need to be a dick to yourself on it. As always, that was it. I'll see you guys in the next one.